Good morning, everybody. So how's 2020 working out for you so far? Anybody else ready for their money back? The enemy's been at work, especially this week. I'm expecting a call. No, I'm not. Got something I want to share with you.
Home to my own native land, where I belong.
quite a message, huh? Seems timely. I know this is Pentecost Sunday. I'm not really going to preach on Pentecost Sunday, but yet the Holy Spirit's here. And what does He do? He comforts us. Almost had an encore there. It's high-tech stuff. It's not home, is it? Yeah, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones said a long time ago that he couldn't imagine singing the song "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" after he turned 35 years old. Guess what? He's older than I am. And I'm a little bit more than 35. Bill Gates, years ago, back when he was only worth $35 billion, he said, if I could only work 10 more years, I'll have enough. There's a man in the Bible named Solomon, who is probably the richest person that ever lived. I tend to think he was. He had everything. He had people, kings from other countries, just bring him money just because they wanted to be his friend. He had fancy furniture. He had an ivory throne with, I don't know. How many? Oh, 700 wives and, yeah. A lot of honeydew lists on the refrigerator. But he had everything. It says in Ecclesiastes, he denied himself nothing. He had building projects, he had gardens, he had money. And yet it also says in Ecclesiastes, therefore I hated life. Why would he hate life? Maybe he didn't realize that this place isn't his home. It's not supposed to be. Things are getting moved. Things are getting shaken. And what are we supposed to do? Hold fast. I've got a whole bunch of verses on hold fast. Seems like nobody's really content. Do you feel a restlessness? A yearning? A longing for something else? Romans chapter 8 says, all creation groans waiting for the revealing of the sons of men, waiting for the change that's going to happen. All of creation. Yeah, I drove a truck for 4 years. And I drove coast to coast. And the way they worked it was that for every 7 days that you worked, after the 7 days, you were entitled to one day off. They wouldn't give it to you all at once, though. Usually after about 21 to 24 days, I'd get to go home for three days, since there's 3 sevens in there. Sometimes it was longer than that. I think the longest I stayed out was 49 days. That's 7 weeks. You start missing home. No matter where I went, there was always somewhere I wasn't, and that was home. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. So when you're in a strange land, what do you do? you occupy. Jesus said that in one of his parables. He talked about the 10 servants that received the 10 pounds. He said, occupy till I come. That means we take possession of where we are. We own it for him. But we also take possession and use what he's given us. People are having a really hard time right now, aren't they? Being happy. We're getting battered. Like I said, the enemy is coming at us like a flood. And what does the Lord do? He raises up a standard against them, and that's what we're counting on. But we also know, we've always known that this was going to happen, that things are going to get like this. Now, whether we remain here or whether we go to heaven when things get bad, you know, it doesn't change how we're supposed to approach it. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They hadn't remembered the previous time they were in captivity, so they got to do it again. When we make mistakes, if we don't remember those mistakes, if we keep doing them, then guess what? We get to repeat it, don't we? And that's what happened to them. It says they sat down, yea, they wept when they remembered Zion. Zion was Jerusalem. It was the presence of God. But for us as Christians, we're actually setting our aim a little higher than that, aren't we? Oh, we're all going to be in Jerusalem during the millennium. But yet, we're looking for something higher because that's where our home is. And we know it. Jeremiah 29:4-7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Build homes, settle in, occupy. Always knowing that it's not going to last much longer. Because it isn't. We know that. We feel that in our hearts, don't we? We know that sooner or later, God's going to step in and he's going to do what he does. Hebrews 10:22-23. Let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast your profession, your confession of faith. Don't abandon it. Paul, talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, said, thou hast professed a good confession before many witnesses. This confession of faith, this profession of faith, is a public confession, isn't it? Sometimes we even have to use words. But with everything we do, with everything we are, with everything we're faced with, we have to confess the Lord to the world while we're here. 2 Peter says that in the last days, mockers will come mocking, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers passed away, everything is continued. Nothing's changed. But they forgot about the flood. They forgot about Sodom and Gomorrah. They forgot about an awful lot of things, but yet people are mocking. We see the children of Israel being mocked here. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. That's entertainment. That's mockery. They didn't want to hear about the Lord. They were mocking God's people. They hung their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, it says in verse 2. The harps were used for temple worship. They didn't feel that they should be worshiping the Lord, so they hung them up in the tree, the branches of the tree, the willow, the weeping willow. In other words, they gave in to the sorrow, their praise. We can't do that. We need to continue our praise. Don't give in to the sorrow. Don't give in to what's happening around you. Hold fast. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Some people think that's talking about salvation. Personally, I think it's talking about rewards. It's things we've earned. We don't earn salvation. Hold fast. And the Old Testament means to cling to adhere to abide fast, to be joined to keep. The New Testament means to possess, retain, seize on, to have and to hold. Sounds like a marriage vow, doesn't it? And it should, because it is. It has to be real. It has to have meaning. Can we lose our salvation? A lot of people argue over this. You know the way I look at it? I'm not going to. Why? Because I'm going to hold fast to what's been given to me. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. Babylon is a picture of the world, just like Egypt is a picture of the world. Are we in captivity to the world? To a certain degree, maybe we are. We're not supposed to be, though, are we? But yet, as long as we're here, we have to put up with things that are going on. Yes, and we're supposed to pray against it. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Their hearts weren't in it. But we need to remember what the Lord has done for us. They didn't have that revelation. They didn't have that realization back then. Because they couldn't look back to a Savior that died on a cross for them. Somehow the lamb that was killed at the temple didn't mean as much. But yet they didn't even have that, did they? They felt the temple was all there was. They had to have the temple. They had to have Jerusalem. Jesus says, go into all the world. Verse 5 and 6 said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, if I forget thee, and if I do not remember thee. Is there a difference? Most people probably never thought of that. I scare myself sometimes with the things I think about. If I forget, if I don't remember. Someone maybe does something trivial to you and they apologize and you say, forget it. Well, they'd look at you kind of funny if you said, don't remember it, wouldn't they? Personally, I think when we forget, it's just an occurrence that happens, maybe out of neglect or something. When we don't remember, there's more of a choice involved, maybe. That's what I think, anyway. Captivity. A.J. Gordon was a great preacher who lived many years ago. He was out walking one afternoon and he saw a dirty-faced, barefoot little boy carrying a rusty birdcage. Barefoot, dirty-faced little boy. That sounds familiar. That's the way kids used to be. Now they come home like that and their parents are screaming. Oh, all the germs. I'd come home like that. My mother would say, I see you had a good time. Good. Anyway, this little boy was carrying a birdcage. And in that birdcage were several sparrows. Gordon, who was a nature lover, stopped the little boy and said, where did you get those birds? He said, I trapped them. What are you going to do with them? I don't know. Play with them? What are you going to do after that? I guess I'll kill them. Would you like to sell them? How much would you give me for them? I'll give you $2 for them. Well, for $2, you can have the cage too. So he bought them. He thanked the boy. You know, the boy thanked him and went on his way. After the boy left, Gordon took the birds to an alley. Excuse me. Where he wouldn't be seen. He opened the cage door. The birds just stood there. They weren't moving. He knocked on the bottom of the cage and the birds flew out. He watched them circling higher and higher in the sky. All of a sudden, one by one, they started to chirp and they began to sing. A.J. Gordon said it was almost as if he could hear them sing just one song. The old hymn, Redeemed, Redeemed, Redeemed. We sang about being redeemed today, didn't we? You know, sometimes the Lord has to knock on the bottom of our cage to get us to jump out and fly. Right? You know, it's hard to sing when you're in captivity. It's hard to sing when the world wants you to compromise your praise. When the world wants only to mock what's in your heart. It's hard to sing when you're in captivity, but we have to. Because there's power in that singing. There's power in that praise. That's one of the most powerful things we can do. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a banner. And I'm believing a large part of that banner is praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit, the comforter that you sent to encourage us. And Lord, we need encouragement right now because the enemy is coming in like a flood. He's coming in full throttle, Lord. And we know it and we see it. Help us to stay strong and to hold fast that which you've given us. The promise. Because, Lord, this is not our home. Help us always to keep in mind what lies ahead for us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, be with us today and go with us and guide us and direct us and comfort us and protect us. And Lord, we need you. We need you more and more. And you know that. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.